lineouts, racks.
Pulls, engage!
What an amazing try!
Tries and tackles, dissected by South Africa's top rugby minds.
That is world class!
This is To The Last Drop, your weekly in-depth rugby podcast with Liam Delcombe and Brendan Nell.
This is To The Last Drop. I'm Liam Delcombe.
And I'm Brendan Nell.
Hello, Brendan. I hope you have had a good week. We've certainly had a better week on the rugby field.
Yeah.
If you compare it to the previous week. Good return for the Stormers. Good return for the Sharks. Bulls, unfortunate again. Officialdom caught up with them. And the Lions found another way to win a rugby match. They've certainly sort of broadened their horizons on that front. But overall, not a bad weekend for us.
No, and I think, I mean, when our teams play at home, I think we should be expecting victories. And that's what the Sharks and the Stormers gave us. Sharks, I didn't think they were firing on all cylinders. Some of the box looked a bit rusty, like they'd been on a beach in Mauritius for a couple of weeks. But certainly as the game went on, they started to get better. I thought Apelele Fassi was great. He really put in a good performance.
That was wonderful.
And then a bit later, Damien Willemse reminded us just how good he was with the Stormers. And that was a big win for them because they've struggled against Munster over the years as well. Mm. So yeah, Rusty's got some great options there at fullback with Willie LaRue obviously playing well for the Bulls a couple of weeks ago when he last played for them. So lots to ponder there on the Springbok front. On the Bulls, I think like most people, a bit frustrated that these red cards seem to be given and then overturned. And I've said it before we go for 20-minute red cards, maybe we should rather sort out what is a red card and what is not, because we've had 2 weeks in a row where red cards have been given and overturned by disciplinary committees. And it's cost the Bulls, it's cost them points, and those are valuable points at the end of the day. So Lions, I felt they tried to play the wrong game plan in those conditions, and I think that's a worry. Can they play a structured forward-based 10, kicking them to the corners? I didn't see them playing that, which I thought those conditions in that rain, they needed against Zebre.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good point. I also got the impression that they were a little bit caught between two stools. And if anything, actually, Zebre pinned them down in their own half for long periods of that game. But in the end, I mean, I suppose they got the job done. But then you must take those wins on the road when you can get them. So good on them for doing that. And then the Stormers getting the Munster monkey off their back. I mean, that Munster is such a almost belligerent side. They just don't go away. They just snap at your heels all the time. And I don't know if you saw the Graham Rowntree interview after the game. I mean, he was displeased with aspects of their performance. And I suspect they're going to be much better this weekend.
Yeah, I reckon they will. Look, Graham Rowntree is never one to keep his feelings silent. And he's a great guy to interview. And I must admit, a great coach as well, a real character. And we like those type of guys. But he would have been upset with that performance. Of course, the other news then we should just touch on is the Springbok squad that was announced.
I thought for a moment you were going to go elsewhere, but thank you for making the box squad.
Oh, the box squad, we have to touch on it. No surprises. And that was probably the biggest surprise, that there was no surprises. Just one or two things I picked up from the squad. It's quite clear, 28 World Cup winners in that squad of 34. There's definite intent. They want to go out and win all three games. There's no more experimentation. They want these wins. No Faf de Klerk, which I found interesting. He wasn't listed on the injured players list. That could have just been an oversight because he is, as far as I know, still injured. But his name not there. But other than that, I suppose people are a bit upset about the lost opportunity to give somebody like Wilco Lowe or Cameron Honeycomb a cap, but I think that will probably come next year.
Mm. The Faf de Klerk dynamic there certainly was interesting. I don't think it was an oversight. That's not the kind of thing that they do. I think there's probably some method behind it. The method we don't quite know yet could just be that they've opted for some extended rest. I mean, we're speculating, you know. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't for a moment suggest now that that could be the end of Faf de Klerk's international career, but I think there would be meaning behind his omission. Let's put it that way.
Well, it could be just as simple as, I mean, they know what they've got in Faf. He's won two World Cups for them. Having him miss one tour is not going to be the end of the world for Rusty, and probably prolongs his career a bit more as well. So in terms of that, there might be an agreement with his club. There might be, there's a lot of things that could be. As I say, I don't think we've got used to that most of these things are planned. There's no real talking points. So it was just a very strong squad.
Yeah, and for once, I mean, we for years have been complaining about Springbok squads that go abroad on an end-of-year tour and the squad is depleted, players are tired, players are not released from their clubs, etc., etc. And the dice is usually loaded against them. And yeah, suddenly we, well, not suddenly, we have an opportunity to put our best foot forward. Now, suddenly, obviously, not suddenly, but you get a sense that people will really look forward to all three of those tests.
Well, I mean, there are some within that squad. There are some interesting poses. As I mentioned, the fullback situation with Apalele, Damian Willemse, and Willy Larue, there's one that's going to be interesting to see how they solve it as well. And the rest of the back line, I suppose, do you play Marnie Moore? Do you play Hundre for these in the conditions? Which scrum half will start? Yeah, the loose trio pretty much settled. Siya, Pieter Steyn, Jasper, and maybe Alrik Mbakwe, depending on the conditions in the opposition. Locks, I don't see really changing now that Franco Mostert's back, him and Eben be there. And the front row is a front row. We can put any front row up. So I think it's quite an easy 23 to choose. Just one or two questions at fullback and fly off. And yeah, but those aren't major questions either because whoever plays is pretty decent anyway.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But it's also, I mean, within that squad, you can also mix and over three tests. I mean, there's enough there for you to mix and match a little bit. So that's not as if the same 23 will start every, not start, but will be selected every weekend. So I think there's enough there.
Yeah, definitely. I think let's go into our interview this week. We've been lucky to have one of the Sharks players join us. I had a chat. Liam was on the golf course, so he couldn't join us there. I'm sure he had his
Love to
reasons.
rat me out like that, but anyway, thank you.
That's all right. Everybody deserves a day on the golf course. So I'm actually just jealous. That's the only thing. So, but yeah, I had a chat to Vincent Chituka, amongst other things about his quest to become a Springbok, the passport problems he had. And how difficult it's been, adapting to Durban. So have a listen. Today, our guest is somebody who's made a lot of inroads in South African rugby. He's one of the top players in the Sharks squad at the moment. A former Lion, a former ballroom dancer. His name is Vincent Chituka. Did I pronounce that right, Vince?
You actually did. That's very impressive.
I remember a couple of years ago when you told us about the ballroom dancing. It was quite a fun interview that there at Joburg Stadium when you're still at the Lions.
Yeah.
Do you get time to do ballroom dancing anymore?
No, absolutely not. Those days are way behind me. Maybe it would be something I'd pick up after my time in the game, as a hobby, but absolutely not now.
Okay, that's no, cool. But tell me, how's the move been to Durban? You've been there now for a couple of seasons. Your brother joined you there now. So how's that been, and how's it been getting him into Durban as well?
The move to Durban has been quite good for me, but honestly, I think the first year, I must say, I did struggle a lot. I am a man of community. I love my family. I love home. And in the first year, for the first time, I didn't have that community or that home aspect in my life. And I did struggle a little bit in the first year. I found it really hard to adjust, but I think I kept on telling my brothers that my biggest mistake is that I kept trying to recreate a Johannesburg in Durban instead of loving Durban for Durban. And the moment I changed my mindset about that and I started to love and appreciate Durban for Durban, my whole experience changed as well. Obviously, having Manu come down definitely has made it a whole lot better and a whole lot easier. It just adds the home element to the Sharks and Durban as a whole. So yeah, I'm in a really good space right now.
When you say let Durban be Durban, what do you mean? What's the big difference? I mean, if somebody's listening to this, they're probably going to wonder that between Durban and Joburg.
I think Johannesburg is a very up-paced city. Like, there's always something going on. There's a lot happening at the same time. And it's nearly normal to always be doing something. Versus when you get to Durban, it's, I think, quite the opposite. Everybody's always chilling. And, there isn't as much to do. And a lot of the things that you do in Durban are revolved around community. So if you don't have the community, there isn't a lot of things to do alone, if that makes sense. So for
Yeah,
me, yeah.
it does. It does. Obviously, with Manu being there now, Liam, my partner, who was supposed to be here today, but is at a golf day, so that's why I'm doing it alone.
Okay.
But he also said, "I must ask you now that Manu's there, is Kevin and Nysvik? Did I say that right? Nysvik?
Naswick.
Are they part of the mix as well in Devon, or are they still up north?
No, they're still up north. Everybody else, most of my family is still in Johannesburg, yeah.
Okay, no, cool, man. So, listen, looking at the Sharks, there's obviously been, I suppose, one of the criticisms that's happened with the Sharks over the last couple of years is that when the Springboks are there, and we obviously know that you guys have signed some incredible talent at the Springboks, but when they're there, the team seems to be a very different team to when they're not there. And the Sharks have probably struggled a bit with a lot of those senior experienced guys there. Now, you guys have made a number of signings like Manu, like Jason Jenkins, those type of players, Jordan Hendrickse. Do you think that's one of those things that's going to change this year?
Yeah, absolutely. I think obviously as a squad and as the Sharks, that's the biggest challenge is that we have a lot of world-class players and we lose a lot of world-class players to international duty. And to bridge the gap to be able to have a full squad that is equally as competitive is not an easy thing to come by, but it's definitely something that we're aiming for as a squad. I think this season we're definitely going to get a lot better transition between the two. I felt like it was a very harsh transition in previous seasons, but I feel like we're in a better place as a squad, we're in a better place as a team, and that transition will be a lot smoother going into the season.
And I know that maybe it's sometimes unfair to ask you because we do ask Plum these type of questions as well. But this season, you guys had a pretty tough tour. I know you're injured at the moment. So, but just from that, I mean, it's been a bit of a disappointing start to the season. The games you guys could have won and didn't. And yeah, there's some disappointing performances. But in that, I suppose that's also the whole thing of the transition from the Currie Cup to the ERC all in one season.
Yeah, for sure. I think there's, as you said, it's just a couple of disappointing performances, not just from a fan's perspective, but as well from the Sharks and the players and the coaches ourselves. We know the quality of rugby that we can produce, and I feel like we have done that in glimpses of the games, but we haven't done it consistently for a full 80 minutes. And I personally feel that it's not the start we wanted, but it's not the worst start either. So for me, it's a building block. We can only get better from here. We can only build from here. And I do feel that we grow from strength to strength every single week as well.
Obviously with the box not there, the dynamic inside the camp must be quite different. But you've got a very good squad there, even without the Springboks. Just in terms of the team dynamic, how does that work? Who are the guys who stand out? I mean, take when the box are gone now. Which guys stand out? Who are the jokers? Who are the serious guys? Maybe give us a bit of insight into the squad.
No, I think the team dynamic doesn't change too much. Obviously, having the Springboks back, it adds a whole lot of experience. It adds a whole lot of knowledge and leadership into the Sharks squad. But we have a lot of good leaders that are involved in the squad outside of their presence as well. The first couple of games we had the likes of myself, Andre, James, Swayze, and Trevor in the front row. And Ru Andrea in the front row, all experienced, very experienced players who have played the game for a while and I guess can lead the team in that manner. As I said, it wasn't the start that we wanted, but there's definitely we in a great place in terms of our squad, and we just have to tone down on the difference between there's a transition. Outside of that, I don't think the dynamic changes too much. There's always we have quite a couple of jokers in the team. We have guys that are there for the laughs and guys who are there to hold everybody accountable to a good standard as well. So not too much changes. I think obviously roles change and Springboks do enter the squad, but outside of that, not too much does change in the team dynamic, I must say. This was a very swift transition. We didn't have a lot of training sessions last week. Obviously, they are coming back from tour, but it was a really easy transition to get back and reconnect with them. So it's been good so far.
Just on the Durban, I mean, now that you've moved to Durban, you made your name obviously in Joburg on a very fast field. Ellis Park is a great field for running rugby. It's everything works with even the altitude. Durban's conditions have been very different, and you're a guy who likes a free flowing fast game. Have you had to change the way you play in any way because of the humidity and the conditions and the way the ball is a bit different, with more slippery around it?
Yeah, for sure. I think at first, when I arrived, especially my first season, I guess struggled with that as an adjustment as well. I kind of was like, how do I adjust my game so that I'm best suited and I can offer the best version of Vincent to the Sharks? And back that, I changed my game in a multiple different little ways. But I think at the core of it, what I've realized is that you can just, once you get used to the conditions, you just go back to being, I just go back to my strengths and playing the way that I always play, because ultimately that is what brought me here, and that is what the team actually wants and expects from me. So yeah, I just took a bit of getting used to, but absolutely, I'm just going back to the basics, going back to what I do best.
No, I mean, obviously, like every rugby player in South Africa, there's a cliche of saying you want to become a Springbok, but you and your brother have had a bit more difficult road to getting yourself on that track for that dream. I know all the passport issues were there, etc. That's now all sorted. It's been a long journey for you guys, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's definitely been a long journey. I think it's one that goes far beyond rugby even itself. And I'm blessed, and we're blessed as a family to have rugby that is able to help myself and Manu, I guess, along with that jersey, along in that journey. It's been a very, very long journey, but it's I think at the end of the day, you stand there and you just take a deep breath and you're like, at least it's, you know, we got across the finish line. So that's the most important part for me.
Just on that, though, I mean, I don't think a lot of people know the whole process you had to go through. I mean, most people think you just turn up at a passport office and put in an application, but it's a bit more complicated than that, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. It is definitely a lot more complicated than what most people think. Simply because we came to South Africa as refugees, and that in itself complicates the process as well. So it was as I said, it was a very long process for me and my family, and it's taken its time, but it's, you know, eventually it eventually came through. And for the most part, when people always ask me, and they're just like, how could you not have a passport, or why don't you have a passport? You've been here for so long. I always save myself the explanation, because the reality is that they'll never know or understand, even if I am to explain it, the process that is required, because they've never been in those shoes. But as I said, for me, the most important thing is that I'm happy that we eventually got to get across and walk across that finish line.
Yeah, I take it what passport were you traveling on then? Was it a temporary passport, or I mean, now you've gone overseas,
Yeah,
so.
it was a travel document. It was a refugee travel document.
Okay. Now, yeah, look, it makes a lot more sense when you talk about being in a refugee status. That complicates things a lot, I'm sure. But yeah, now you're on the right track. At least that's all sorted. So the admin hurdles are gone. And I know you've said it before. I know year two you had an interview in the Sunday Times, but you also said it's still your dream and you're still chasing it. There's obviously a lot of Springboks there, including some of your teammates at loose forward. Lots of competition. And as we've seen, the depth is just getting more and more in South Africa. How difficult is that to be, and how far or close do you feel you are away from getting that call up?
I think it's not even a matter of how far or close I feel. To be honest, South Africa is flourishing in so many aspects when it comes to the game. At loose forward specifically, there's at least 20 people that you can pick from all around the world that are just as good to play for the Springboks. And the reality is that decision goes back down to us and the Springbok management and the team. And for me, it's quite honestly, it's one of those that you pray and hope for favor, to find favor within the management and the team, because as I said, everybody is just that good. Everybody's quality, everybody's good enough, and all is competitive enough to get a crack into the squad. And I want to do my part, obviously, and the most important thing for me is to bring my end of the show in terms of my performances on the week and week out basis, and get that to more to a more consistent world-class performance for me on my side. I do feel like there's a little bit of consistency that I could turn up even more so from my end. But ultimately, yeah, as you mentioned, it's a dream of mine that will always be a dream until until the very last day of my career. Yeah.
So when you and Manu play together, I'm sure there's your whole sort of career and your whole life there's been you guys been ribbing each other, I'm sure. As who's the one who, I mean, are you still the older brother that's getting won over him, or is he challenging you? Because he's quite an intense character as well.
No, for sure. I think he's always been challenging me my entire life, not only in the game, but in every aspect. I guess that's what comes with having four boys at home. We've challenged each other our entire lives, and I think for me, I love the challenge. I love the space where you can competing in everything. Even when I'm not so good at a game or a sport, I love competing, and I always love giving myself the best shot at winning. So, he's having him, I guess, being able to play with him is the massive honor, and to even have him when he was across the field, that in itself was another way to compete. I compete with him, and he's on my team. I compete with him, and he's across the field, and it's always healthy. It's always used to build each other and to grow each other. But yeah, I love competing and I love winning. He does nudge me every now and again as well, depending on what we're competing at. But yeah, it's always healthy.
The just on the I always ask guys this. I mean, you do a lot of interviews. Is there ever an interview question that somebody has not asked you that you chomping at the bit to answer, or is there anything you want people to know about you away from the field? That I think that's how we got into the ballroom dancing a couple of years ago when you asked a similar type
Yeah.
question.
No, actually, I think for me, if I'm being quite honest, there's a part of the game which I must say I do love it for the most part, that you get to share your life and your space with the world. But there's a part of it where you just want to keep to yourself as well. And I guess the intimacy of life where you feel like, it's not for everybody else. It's just for the people that are in my close circle that I love as well. So from my side, there isn't anything that I have to share. I think in terms of my personality and the man that I am, I give as much as I can when it comes to these interviews, and I share as much as I can as well. But yeah, I can't think of anything right now.
I was going to say, just looking at the Sharks now, this you guys got a tough one. How long are you still injured and out for? When are you going to be able to play again?
Hopefully I'll be able to. I should be. I'm doing a test tomorrow to hopefully see if I'm cleared or not. But yeah, I had a concussion in the Benetton game, and hopefully I'll be cleared soon.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
And I think the final one I'm going to ask you comes from Liam, not from me. He says, apparently, you're quite a big Chelsea fan. And he says to me, how are you stomaching the latest defeats for Chelsea, and especially the one against Liverpool?
I think, you know what, if I'm being honest, ever since our previous owner, Roman, left, things haven't gone our way. I must say, I never thought an owner would play a big influence on a team, but I've definitely seen the influence ever since he's left. And it's eating me up because there hasn't been a season since he's left where I get to brag about being a Chelsea fan. You kind of just sit down and let all the other boys go have a laugh. And you nearly avoid joining the conversations these days because you're always going to be on the hard end of the thing. Let me call it, I'm a Chelsea fan. I always root for them, and I always, when asked, I always stand by them. But I'm a silent Chelsea fan for now, unfortunately.
worry, I also support the London team. I'm a West Ham fan, and they haven't had
Oh,
the best
the
start of the season, only won one
team.
game. So I'm also one of those, I keep quiet most of the time as well. So
Yeah, I get it. I
yeah.
completely understand. I completely understand.
Well, Vince, thanks for the chat and thanks for coming on our podcast. And hopefully you get your injury sorted soon and see you back on the field. And I think
Thank you
we're going
very
to make a
much.
promise you, hopefully when you become a Springbok, when, not if, we're going to have you
Okay.
back again to talk about the experience as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can hold you to that.
Thanks a lot for your time, man, and good luck with the injuries
No
today.
problem. You have a good one.
Interesting one, Vincent Sutuka, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a great character, and I mean, I think I still want to get him on a video to do some ballroom dancing for us. I think he says he doesn't get too much chance nowadays, but I reckon he'd be good. It'd be a good advert for the URC or something like that, or somewhere along the line.
Yeah, and I would have thought in Durban there'd be more than ample opportunity to show what he's to show his skills.
Yeah, no. Well, let's get into the predictions for this week because we've got another full round of Vodacom URC coming up. Okay, we start on Friday night with an interesting game, more bottom of the log game in Clonakilty. Scarlets are hosting Zebra Palmer. Scarlets will be buoyed after that win over the Bulls, which obviously the Bulls fans didn't like because of the red card. And Zebra are a tough team, so this is going to be an interesting one to watch because I reckon Zebra might take this, but yeah, it's very close. It's going to be a 2-3 point game either way.
And I'm gonna go Scarlets, but with more than that. But Zebra had, opportunities last weekend with, they pinned the Lions back and they had decent ball, but they just don't seem to do enough with it. So I'm gonna go Scarlet by 10.
Good one. Then, of course, the one Pretoria fans will be hoping for the Bulls to close off on a big note, facing Benetton, tough team to face at the Stadio Monigo in Treviso. And one interesting point on this one, they've got Irish referee Ewan Cross. I never know how to say that, Ewan Cross. The same referee that red carded David Creel, which was overturned, he's back to ref them again this weekend, so that should make it interesting. Tough one for the Bulls, especially without their Springboks. I'm hoping they can do it, but I think I'd probably go for a Benetton victory by about 4 or 5 points.
Yeah, it's a tough one for the Bulls. It's almost one of those where it depends on the mindset. I mean, do they drop their heads after the last 2 weeks, or do they find inspiration from, it's almost like a sense of trying to set things right. So it depends on the mindset, I think, for me. But it's difficult to look past the Benetton winning this one. So Benetton by a few.
Then Saturday, start off with an early kickoff, 13:45, 1:45 p.m. at the Donny Craven Stadium. DHL Stormers against Glasgow Warriors. Big game as well. Glasgow will be hurt by losing to the Sharks last week. Will be better. And the Stormers will have felt they're back to not their best, but a lot better than they've been. A very fascinating game to watch.
I think this is almost the highlight of the weekend, and also an interesting setting. I think Stellenbosch will be a place to be this weekend. And you're right, I think Glasgow will be hurting after last week. When they fired shots in Durban, they looked great. Maybe didn't fire enough. But I mean, they were also under a lot of gain line pressure. So, but I don't think Franco Smit can be too tough on his players, and got away with 2 points. So, difficult one. I'm still gonna go Stormers though, by not much, a sliver.
I think the only danger for the Stormers is we see them, especially at home, try and play very flashy rugby, try and do a lot of sort of trick plays. It doesn't work for them overseas, and it hasn't worked for them overseas, but at home it tends to work. And Glasgow will be wary of that, and they are a good team to counter that. So I'd say Stormers to win, but it's going to be a very close game. Okay. Ospreys against Edinburgh. That's an interesting one. Griffin Colby's riffing his second URC game there in Bridgend. And it's going to be an interesting one. That one, I reckon Edinburgh are on the march now. They're not going to be stopped. I don't think Ospreys have the firepower to beat them. So Edinburgh by 5 to 10.
Ordinarily, I would say that, but I think when you look at their record, I think Edinburgh actually have a very poor record against them, if I'm not mistaken. So that's something that's just sort of scratching the back of the mind. I am still going to go Edinburgh, though. Edinburgh by not much.
Okay. Then obviously back to Durban, the Sharks playing Munster at 4 o'clock on Saturday. Big game for the Sharks. Their box will be better. I think we all feel that with the amount of talent they have, they're not firing on all cylinders, and Munster will be desperate to win. I see Holly Davidson's the ref. She's a very good ref, so it should be a very interesting game on Saturday in Durban.
No doubt Munster will be better. And you're right. I think the Sharks, the Springbok contingent certainly would have run off some of that rust, some of that club mid Mauritius rust. I think they'll be better for it. And as much as Monday, I think it'll be one of those busy games where a lot of things happening at the same time. Officials will have their hands full, but I think the Sharks will prevail by, in the end, probably a little bit more comfortable than we think, most people think now. So Sharks by 10.
Yeah, I can see it being one of those games where there's lots of off the ball stuff, no love lost between the two sides. But I agree. I think Sharks are probably at home a lot stronger with their box. Probably, yeah, I'd say about five as well. Then the bravery game, the game that the Lions are going to start as massive underdogs, even though they're unbeaten. They go to the Aviva Stadium in Dublin to face mighty Leinster, who last week against Connacht were just awesome, and Erkis Naiman, he had made eight offloads, more than any team has made in the first five rounds of URC. Leinster look unstoppable. The Lions are going to be brave, but I'm not sure they're going to be brave enough. I think Leinster probably by 10.
Bravery will only take you so far. I think in this one, Leinster does look like a team that's now very well oiled, and they are steaming ahead. Well, the Lions need a few things to go their way. I think there's a couple of things in their game that their coaches have identified that they need to brush up on. And I think game management for me is one of those things. And they're going to be operating under a lot of pressure. So I think they'll find out quite a bit about their squad and about their players in this particular game. But I'm giving it Leinster by 12.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. We know the Lions, when they get on a roll, the momentum, they're very much a momentum team. But Leinster are relentless at times, and that's why I'm just not sure the Lions can handle that. It's going to be interesting to watch, fascinating. Saturday night, 8:35 kickoff. Connacht still licking their wounds after being mauled by Leinster up against the Dragons. Tough game for both sides. But I think Connacht at home probably a bit stronger, I'd say, probably by 7 points.
Yeah, I think there'll be a firm response this week from them against a Dragon side that good spoilers get stuck in, but when it comes to when you actually hand them the ball, there's not enough there. So for me, Connacht, 15 points, if not more.
Yeah.
Depending on the weather, of course, that's the other thing there.
Yeah, well, both those sides, well, especially in Galway, I mean, the rain comes sideways down there around there. So that should be very interesting. The final game, Cardiff hosting Ulster at Arms Park. Also 8:35 kickoff on Saturday. Also a tough one. Ulster are a gritty team, but Cardiff at home can sometimes be difficult. Again, the conditions will make a difference. But I'd probably go with Ulster by 7 points.
That's not a bad call. Yeah, I think if it becomes a bit of a slugfest, then I really fancy Ulster. And I think they've got a little bit more going for them now, compared to maybe earlier in the campaign. So yeah, for me, Ulster by one score, if not a bit more.
Yeah. Well, that's it for the predictions this week and for our podcast. It's been a fascinating week. We'll be back next week with a little bit more. We'll know a bit more about where our team stand and where the Springboks stand and what we're going to expect from them. I'm sure before they depart on camp, we'll have a couple of discussions about that. But thank you again for listening. It's been a great week, and enjoy this weekend's rugby. It's a jam-packed weekend. Can't wait for some of these games.
Have a good week.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening. For the latest insights and rugby analysis each week, plus new episode alerts, please follow or subscribe to the series. Or find all episodes at jacarandafm.com or the Jackpot app.